Good morning. This is Reed Collins with the CBS World News Roundup. A peasant from Siberia has made it to the top of the Kremlin hierarchy. Konstantin Chernenko was named this morning to succeed Yuri Andropov as party chairman, the position of real power. Chernenko, having been the most prominent member of the Politburo in the public mourning processions that followed Andropov's passing. Chernenko has already had his chance to set the tone for his stewardship of the Kremlin, and we have this report from Moscow and Elizabeth Gillette.
In his first speech as Communist Party General Secretary, Konstantin Chernenko had harsh words for the West. He warned he'll strengthen the Soviet Union's defense capability and thereby, in his words, cool the hotheads of militant adventurists, a clear reference to Western leaders. Chernenko delivered the remarks to the Central Committee of the party after its 320 members elected him Soviet leader unanimously. Chernenko will greet the many heads of state arriving here today and lead the country in eulogizing Yuri Andropov, who will be buried in Red Square on Tuesday. Elizabeth Gillette for CBS News, Moscow.
The State Department has had a long time to anticipate Chernenko's rise to power, and Bill McLaughlin reports.
He's viewed here as a survivor, a tough member of the old guard that appears determined to hang on to power as long as age and time will permit. Chernenko, the chief party ideologist, was Leonid Brezhnev's right-hand man for a quarter of a century. He was passed over when Andropov seized power after Brezhnev's death, but managed to retain his important Politburo post. It's believed that Chernenko will manage to retain power through a collective leadership, relying on the support of other prominent Soviet leaders also in their 70s, like Defense Minister Ustinov and Foreign Minister Gromyko. It's too early to say what this means for the U.S., but one top State Department expert told me last week that Chernenko is more public relations-oriented, more likely than Andropov to make gestures aimed at image-building in the West. Bill McLaughlin, CBS News, the State Department.
Vice President Bush stopped over in Luxembourg en route to Moscow for the funeral. While in Luxembourg, Bush is visiting the grave of a man who held some strong opinions about the Soviets, General George Patton. Matters of the Middle East matter most this morning in the White House. Deborah Potter reports.
The president meets today with Jordan's King Hussein and tomorrow with Egypt's President Mubarak, and then all three will discuss the situation in the Middle East with Lebanon at the top of the agenda. Officials here believe it's more important than ever to demonstrate the U.S. commitment to peace in the region and, if possible, to regain the initiative. So the administration is signaling a new flexibility on the Lebanese agreement with Israel. Officials here saying the U.S. is simply an observer in the dispute over whether it should be canceled as Syria has demanded. And they say a United Nations peacekeeping force for Lebanon might be worth looking into, with the idea apparently more acceptable to Syria and the Soviet Union. No one's expecting any diplomatic breakthroughs this week. The hope is to present a united front with Jordan and Egypt as a signal to Syria that no matter what it appears to have gained in Lebanon, its power in the region is not unmatched. Deborah Potter, CBS News, The White House.
This is Alan Pizzi in Beirut. Lebanese President Amin Gemayel has emerged from almost 10 days of political isolation with a plan of constitutional reforms that he hopes will lead to a political solution to his country's latest crisis. Gemayel, who says he still has confidence in the Reagan administration's efforts in spite of the planned pullout of the Marines, asked for increased American aid for his now fractured army. He also put forth ideas for major constitutional reforms that would end Christian domination of Lebanon's parliament. Among those, changing the current ratio of 6 Christians for every 5 Muslims in parliament to a 50-50 setup. The opposition has reacted cautiously. The ceasefire along the Green Line dividing the east and west sides of Beirut continues to hold. Alan Pizzi, CBS News, Beirut.
American women skiers have won the gold and the silver medals in the women's giant slalom at the Winter Olympics in Sarajevo. Kristen Cooper of Sun Valley, Idaho, had led in the first run, followed by Seattle's Debbie Armstrong. In the second run, Armstrong made the better time. Armstrong won the gold medal and Cooper the silver. When Warren Berger speaks publicly, and that's not often, lawyers listen. And some legal lobes burned yesterday in Las Vegas. Fred Graham reports.
Speaking to the elite of the legal profession, Berger challenged the lawyers to search for the reasons why the American public seems to be down on attorneys these days.
Is there a connection between the sharp decline in public confidence in lawyers and the doubling of the number of lawyers in the last 20-odd years.
Berger suggested that some members of the overcrowded legal profession may be keeping their meters running by filing frivolous lawsuits and stretching out litigation, and he recommended making the lawyers who do this, and sometimes their clients, pay all the legal costs of the case.
A few carefully considered, well-placed penalties of $5,000, $10,000, or $15,000 on some of these lawyers will help focus attention on the subject.
Berger also decried some advertising by lawyers, which he said put some lawyers in the same class as hucksters who use TV to sell, quote, mustard, cosmetics, laxatives, and used cars. Fred Graham, CBS News, Las Vegas.
Five people, three naturalized Chinese and two residents of Hong Kong, will be arraigned in New York City today on charges of conspiring to smuggle high-technology equipment to mainland China. Newsman Rich Lamb of WCBS reports.
Customs says it was tipped that one of the five wanted to purchase a device used in rocket guidance systems and to jam surface-to-air missiles. Special agent in charge for New Jersey, Arthur Stiffel, says undercover investigators were offered millions from accounts in foreign banks for communication, surveillance, and night vision devices.
The undercover agent asked them specifically what they wanted, and this list was given to him for him to go out and try to acquire these items. With the understanding they would be going to the People's Republic of China.
The government also believes the same ring succeeded in illegally shipping sophisticated microchip manufacturing devices to communist China. Rich Lamb for CBS News, New York.
Rebels in Angola in Africa say they shot down a government plane load of Angolan and Cuban troops and believe they killed about 100. The Angolan rebel radio also claims the rebels shot down a MiG fighter plane and a helicopter. There's been no confirmation from the government side. Police in India say they believe Kashmiri independence forces may have planted bombs on the only highway that links Kashmir with India. Posters announcing the bombing campaign have gone up on walls in the capital of Kashmir, indicating the bombs could explode any time during the next 9 days. Somebody figured out that lobbyists spent more money trying to influence Congress last year than Congress actually earned. The lobby figure is $39.3 million. That's more than all 535 lawmakers were paid. Gold was fixed at $377.50 in London this morning. That's down less than a dollar from the close on Friday. The U.S. dollar lost fractions this morning, trading against Europe's currency.
CBS News, this is Doug Poling. A proposal for the biggest merger in U.S. corporate history has gotten a tentative okay from the Federal Trade Commission. The agency's conditional approval means Texaco can immediately begin purchasing stock in the Getty Oil Company. The plan is not without opposition, however. The Pennzoil Company already has filed suit. Some members of Congress have their own doubts that the marriage is in the best interests of the public. And a petroleum analyst doubts that the plan will mean greater availability of oil. From the standpoint of the oil company, which wants to stay in business, this is a very enviable solution to a very difficult problem. However, it does not add by itself to the well-being of the industry because acquisition does not create new oil. Sanford Margoshes says it's often cheaper for an oil company to buy one of its competitors rather than try to find new sources of oil. More news in a moment.
If you'd like to improve the appearance of your bathroom, begin now with True Value Hardware Store's February Hardware Value of the Month. A Master Plumber toilet seat for only $4.44. Hi, Pat Summerall to say this molded wood seat has dial-on, dial-off hinges that make installation and removal easy, and an enamel finish that's four layers thick for durability. So get a True Value Master Plumber toilet seat for only $4.44 during February while supplies last, exclusively at participating True Value hardware stores and home centers.
Ruffles have that extra something, you know what it is.
Riches.
Ruffles have that extra something, more taste, rich after rich.
When you bite into a Ruffles potato chip, you get something extra. Great taste in every crunchy bite.
Ruffles have that extra something. Ruffles are riches above the rest.
From Frito-Lay.
A new man in charge at the Kremlin, Konstantin Chernenko, has been named General Secretary of the Soviet Communist Party. He succeeds the late Yuri Andropov, whose funeral will be held tomorrow. In attendance will be Vice President Bush. He's due to arrive in Moscow shortly. The White House says while he's in the Soviet capital, the Vice President will stress the U.S. commitment to peace, and in particular, the search for mutually acceptable agreements on arms control issues. President Reagan and King Hussein of Jordan are meeting in Washington to compare notes on ways of ending the turmoil in Lebanon. The two leaders are not the only ones involved in a series of scheduled meetings. Egyptian President Hosni Mubarak meets with Mr. Reagan tomorrow. All three will meet later on. In Beirut, the American Marines are getting ready to relocate. Rebecca Trounson has the latest.
At their base at Beirut Airport, the U.S. troops are packing up, preparing to get back on board the Navy ships offshore. The Marines say they have no idea exactly when they'll pull out. But out on the line around the perimeter of the airport, they already have their gear packed. And they've been told they should be ready to leave on an hour's notice. The Marines have already moved nearly 300 support troops back to the ships, along with equipment and spare parts. Many of the Marines say they're happy to be going, and almost all are looking forward to getting home. But others, like Lance Corporal Arthur Grant of Laguna Hills, California, say they wish they'd done more in Lebanon.
As peacekeepers, I feel that since we've been here, we haven't really accomplished what we could have, you know, saving people's lives that are around here.
The Marine positions at the airport are now surrounded by the Muslim militiamen who took control of West Beirut a week ago. But both sides say they're getting along just fine. Rebecca Trounson, 4CBS News, Beirut.
The space shuttle Challenger's $100 million mechanical arm should be fixed in plenty of time for the next launch in April. That from officials at Cape Canaveral, where they say technicians will begin checking out the robot arm later in the week. The failure in the arm, which malfunctioned in orbit Thursday, was one of 25 in-flight problems that developed during the eight-day mission. Britain's royal family tree will branch out in September. Buckingham Palace has announced that Princess Diana is expecting her second baby. The child will be third in line to inherit the British throne, behind Daddy Prince Charles and brother Prince William. On Wall Street at this hour, the Dow Jones Industrials are down 7.64, standing at 1153.06, the volume 32.5 million shares. And in London, the price of gold closed today at $377, down $1.25.
It's not easy raising your parents. I've been trying to do it all my life. You teach them and hope for the best, and occasionally you succeed. When I was six, I tried to convince them that ice cream made the best dinner, but they were stubborn, didn't agree. I think they were just too young. Then there was traveling the world on a tramp steamer instead of going to college. Try as I did, they remained unconvinced of its educational benefits. So, you can imagine how surprised I was when I finally convinced them of something. Now, I had to wait until I retired, but it was worth the wait. When I told them about direct deposit, they signed up right away. They love the time it saves them by not having to wait for their government checks. Instead, their Social Security checks are deposited automatically. And that gives them more time to brag about their brilliant and thoughtful son. I'm so proud.
Ask about direct deposit wherever you have a checking or savings account. After all, you've got it coming. A public service of the U.S. Treasury.
An American skier had a golden opportunity at the Winter Olympics today, and she took advantage of it. Debbie Armstrong of Seattle captured top honors in the women's giant slalom, giving the U.S. Olympic team its first gold medal. She heads out teammate Kristen Cooper of Sun Valley, Idaho, who will come home with a silver medal. This is Doug Poling, CBS News.